And behold, there, verse 41 of chapter 8. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Isn't that amazing? Here's a man wanting Jesus to come in his house, come into his house, not just to it, but into it. For here's the reason. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him, and he declared unto and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. Boy, there's some preaching right there. You touch him, it'll be caused based. Where's God's people being driven by a cause? David said, "Is there not a cause?" Reason he fought Goliath, because there was a cause at stake. Amen. If you stand for the Lord, it'll be because there's a cause that you value and that you love and you're unwilling to let go. Amen. Where are the people today that are cause driven? Is there not a cause? Amen. I go to church because there's a cause at stake. Amen. I want to live for the Lord because there's a cause at stake. A costly cause. But right there is a, that stuck out to me. That there is some preaching in that material right there. Amen. My goodness. Amen. Anyway, let's finish reading here. Let's go back to verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, unashamedly, very public announcement, very public confession, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead." Remember verse 42, she lay a dying, and here she gets they get the report, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Well, that's good, isn't it? There's some good preaching right there too. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. We started this morning looking at the different steps down through this story. Two miracles in the same time frame. That of Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead, as well as the woman with the issue of blood was healed as well. And there's some contrast as well as some comparisons made between both of those. And so, but anyway, I just wanted to give you some of the things that we covered this morning, not re-preach them, just cover what it is that we, and I didn't even have a title this morning. Still don't. But that's all right. A title don't make a message. A word from God makes a message. We noticed this morning that first, Jairus as a daddy first detected a problem. He first identified there's something wrong. He noticed his daughter is getting worse and worse. That's what we dealt with first. Secondly, we dealt this morning, not only was there, he detected a problem, but number two, he had a disturbed passion. He cared. He saw the condition of his daughter, and he was disturbed by it. How important that is. You'll never seek to improve something you are not disturbed about. If you are okay with it, it will remain as is. Amen. You'll never make a difference in anything if you are first not dissatisfied or disturbed with it. So there is not only a detected problem, but a disturbed passion that we preached about this morning. Thirdly, we noticed this morning there was a delayed procrastination. That is, Jairus was passive about his daughter. I think that it's worth noting again that Jairus never made a move to help his daughter as far as spiritually until she was almost dead. God help us to be more in tune with what's going on in our life, our spiritual direction, our spiritual condition. Most of us, we'd be a lot better off if we paid as much attention to our spiritual condition as we do our physical condition. Amen. Soon as we feel that we are something going on physically, you know, whatever, you just feel it. We start taking our temperature, we start taking, you know, some medicine, whatever. We try to hit it head on before it gets bad. We try to, ward it off, if you will. But spiritually, we can be nigh unto death and still not go to church. We can be nigh unto death spiritually in a terrible condition and still not read our Bible and pray and ask God, what's wrong with me? Help me, Lord. Amen. And so there was an evident delayed procrastination. I don't believe this was a sudden sickness. I believe it was a progressive sickness that she just kept going from bad to worse, from worse to worse, until finally it became a reality to him that she was not just having a bad day, that, you know, she was dying. And that brought him to a level of seriousness that ultimately ended up influencing the rest of the miracle. So we dealt with that this morning. Number four, I guess this is where we're at tonight. Number four, I notice a declining process. A declining process. And I'd already mentioned about the fact that she was getting worse and worse. She was getting worse and worse. And the Lord spoke to my heart this morning, early this morning, about the fact that a lot of things, you know, doesn't really get worse and worse. A lot of things don't have, but spiritually, when there is, whatever's in motion is starting that decline, it's not going to level out. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until there's spiritual death. Amen. So there is the declining process. Few things in life gets better on its own. Everybody listening? Few things in life will get better on its own. That'll take care of itself. That'll fix it on its own. Few things. But most of the things gets worse and worse until there is, it's almost irreversible. Amen. So there was a declining process. There was that gradual and progressive decline. And I don't want to mention this quickly before we move on. That when you see, listen, you need to pay attention to your life spiritually. When you see that you're losing ground, don't deny it. Don't blame it on somebody else. Don't excuse it. Pay attention to that. Amen. You can tell. Listen, you can't go off of your, you've heard me say this. You can't go off of your feelings about a lot of times about the assurance of your salvation, because there's times that you don't necessarily feel saved. But that don't change nothing. That don't change a fact. That don't change nothing. Amen. Because I'm not saved by feelings. And so, but you can trust your feelings a lot about your spiritual condition and where you are spiritually. You say, "Preacher, I just feel completely dead." Well, maybe there's some truth in that. Well, I feel detached. I feel distant from the Lord. It's because that's probably the reality of it. It may not be 100% accurate, but it's so that you should pay attention to it and say, "Well, you know what? I'm feeling this way. Maybe it's so, and I need to work on it." So there is the declining process. The declining process. What started out with her small ends up being big. What started out with almost undetectable evidence, at the end, it was apparent that she's not going to make it. So there's a declining process, and that's always the path of sin. Always the path of spiritual decline is that it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You don't go down to a certain level and then it levels off. It goes down to a certain level only to get you ready for the next level and the next level, and you'll keep making choices that will choose the next level. Amen. Instead of realizing, wait a minute, wait just a minute. Before I make another choice to go further down and to go further away and to go further out, I need to stop here just a minute. I remember sitting in RBT. I remember singing in the youth choir. I remember, amen, whatever it was. And I remember what it was to be on a different level than I'm on now. Instead of making choices that's continuing to feed me down the path of worse and worse, I want to start making reversal choices to go back to where I know that I need to be. But a lot of people don't do that. There's a declining process. And we could deal with that even more, but we'll go on. Amen. Listen to this. This is good right here. She was getting worse and worse, right? To the point that she was lay a dying, and then a few verses later, they got the report that she died. I'd never seen this before till this afternoon. When she was getting worse and worse, mom and daddy was getting better and better. Did y'all get that? I'm telling you, if you don't get nothing else, if we dismiss after this point, that point right there, you got enough to change your life. When she was lay a dying, what was Jairus doing? He was getting up, geared up to find out where Jesus was and go get Jesus, amen. When she was going down and down and down and worse and worse and worse and was headed to the graveyard, Jairus, instead of getting worse with her, come on now, instead of getting worse with her, she got better. And Mama Jairus got better. And they started thinking, you know what? My child's in a mess. My home's in a mess. My marriage is in a mess. Our church is in a mess or whatever. We don't need to get worse with it. We need to make a decision. We need to make a commitment that we're going to make spiritual choices that will get us to the place where we can make a difference. Hallelujah. Well, that's good. That is good, 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 good. Amen, that's good. When she was getting worse, they was getting better. Hey man, the more that I'm gonna preach right there a minute. The more the devil fights, and you can't do anything for God without being fought against. The devil's gonna fight against you. There's gonna be warfare when it comes to working for the Lord. There's gonna be problems that's associated with progress. There's gonna be adversity that's associated with advancement. And a lot of people don't want to try to go forward because they know it's going to be a conflict and it's going to be a fight and it's going to be a battle. But I want to tell you what. Listen, it's worth the fight, Brother Aaron mentioned this morning. It's worth it, amen. Oh, glory to God. So the more the devil fights and the worse things seem to get, you know what we need to do? We need to just tighten it on up. Just tighten it on up, amen. Well, to let the devil know you fight me, you're not going to cause me to leave God. You're not going to cause me to quit spiritually. I tell you what you're going to do. Your fighting me is causing me to get fired up in my faith. Amen. To contend for the faith and to believe God and scrooge up close to God and to go and get Jesus. Amen. That's about as good as it's going to get tonight right there. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Paul, listen. That is an awesome statement. That is an awesome point. Amen. The Lord gave unto our heart this afternoon as I was meditating on this, because I was thinking, man, she was kept going, getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Lifeless, 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 lifeless. She was headed to the graveyard, amen, in every way. And I got to thinking, what was Daddy doing? What was Mama doing? Hey, they wasn't dying with her. You can't help. Oh, come on, preacher Rackley. Just go ahead and preach. You can't help your children if you're dying with them. Woo! You can't help them if you're getting worse and worse and worse with them. Come on, RBT. We can't help our youth group or the other youth groups that'll be coming to our youth camp. We can't help them. We can't help the kids that'll be coming to our vacation Bible school. We cannot help them if we're getting worse and worse and worse with them. Son, that'll preach right there now. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. So every time that, come on, I'm wanting to hear my own preaching tonight. And when you get down and boy, the devil's fighting, and it seemed like a circumstance is, instead of getting better, it's getting worse. Seemed like, you know, don't look at decline. Decline is not the answer. Because here's what's happening. If you decline, you're getting more and more with your decline. You're getting more and more like the problem. The problem was the daughter was weak and lifeless and only had moments to live. Amen. Brother Ivan, would that not help us tonight if we got that in our heart? The only way I can make a difference in our church, the only way I can be an addition instead of a minus in a youth choir or the adult choir or singing specials or teaching a class or whatever it is that I don't need to go in my temperature, my spiritual level. I don't need to go further and closer to the problem. I need to go further and further. Oh, help me. We may not get off of this. Jairus even took steps away from his daughter. We don't even know how far away Jesus was, if he was in the next town, if he was up the street. We don't know if it took him a half a day to get to where Jesus was. We don't know where Jesus was, but Jairus knew. Instead of staying there, come on, preacher. Instead of staying there and holding the hands of the problem. Now that would have been the human thing to do. That would have been the natural thing to do. Well, I understand. She's dying and mom and daddy's right there, you know, helping her, making sure she's okay and telling her every other breath, I love you and how special you are. And we would have all admired him for that and her for that, wouldn't we? Because they were faithful parents to be there to the end when that daughter took her last breath. Oh, Lord, help us. But Jairus knew in his heart that I can't help the problem if I'm just close to the problem, if I'm here in the same environment of the problem. I've got to leave this. I've got to find out. And so he made what probably would have been criticized by some other parents in the community. I can't believe that him, and I still believe, Brother Craig, that Mama was with him. Mark's account, I read it this afternoon, Mark's account identifies her with Jesus as well as Jairus. They both, as a team, left the daughter's side, left the problem, and started making a direction to get not worse and worse, but to go away from that and go to where help could be had. Hello, come on. They weren't abandoning her. You say, they're abandoning that child. That child's in a mess. That child is dying. That child is in an indescribable condition. But they knew to be like them does not help them. To be near them, oh, mercy. To be near the problem is not the answer. To be emotionally stirred, Brother Jeter, about the problem is not the answer. How many parents, when they see a child going astray, when they see a child becoming prodigal in their mind and actions and attitude, the parents a lot of times will move in that direction also. The parents will move in that direction also. I'm not going to get done tonight because this right here is getting big. When the prodigal in Luke 15 finally made the decision, I'm leaving and I'm going to the far country, Daddy didn't go with him. Would he have helped him? You know what would have happened, Brother Ben, had the father went with the prodigal son to the far country? You know what would have happened? Instead of one being in the hog pen, there would have been two in the hog pen. Are y'all listening? The far country don't care if you're the daddy or the son, the grandma, the grandpa, the grandbaby. The far country will eat you up, amen, and throw you in the hog pen and laugh at you. But what did the daddy do? Instead of going with his son, the daddy stayed at home and kept sowing seed and planting a farm and raising a fatted calf and getting ready for a reunion day. Oh, God help us, RBT, to hear this. Amen. No matter what's going on, no matter what we're going to be confronted with, it's never going to be the right choice to step down spiritually. Never. Oh, it's never God's will to step down, Brother Paul, spiritually. It don't matter who it's for. It doesn't matter what criticism will come your way over those that will make fun of you off of making a spiritual decision instead of an emotional decision. Instead of getting worse and worse with the problem that was getting worse and worse, the two parents made a deliberate decision. Not emotional decision, but a good spiritual decision. If there's any hope whatsoever, I cannot get caught up in the condition of the problem. I've got to get better and better, which means I've got to go get closer and closer to Jesus. I've got to make a good choice over a bad choice. Is that not good? Would that not change our life? Same true with a preacher. Preacher preaches, and I've met them. I've been in churches with them. They preach, and their church is going the opposite direction. They're holding the line. They're preaching the preaching truth, and they're going, the church is going in the wrong direction. And what I've seen preachers do is to give up the fight, quit the tug of war, quit this fighting, and they give up. I heard a preacher just recently say, "I'm getting tired of fighting. I'm getting tired of trying to get so-called God's people with a desire to where they want to live for God." That comes in with the package of salvation, friend. You don't get the desire to want to serve God in a Sunday school class or sitting through some other classes, amen, or somebody telling you how to, give you a how-to list and a do-better list. No, that comes in with salvation. Amen, that's right. The desire to serve God comes in with salvation. If you don't have that, you're either backslid as a goat or you're lost. One of the two. Woo! That's right. Well, what do you do with that, friend? My goodness, isn't that blessing? I don't know if y'all got it or not. But no matter what happens here, even at RBT, no matter what you do as a congregation or what you do as a family or what you do as an individual, that is a decline. It's a worse and worse process. The worst thing I could do is get caught up in that. The worst thing I could do, Brother Craig, is to change what's coming across this pulpit. Water it down because I'm afraid so-and-so will be offended. Pray, amen. No, what I've got to do, and I'm going to tell you it's not easy. What I've got to do is stand. If I have to stand alone and keep preaching it right and go get Jesus, get a word from Jesus, and preach that word. Pray and trust God to work. Amen, that's right. The worst thing I could do is say, "I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the tug of war. I'm tired of trying to get RBT to go in the right direction and they're going in the wrong direction, so I'm quitting." I asked Kaya this morning. Not embarrassing you. Micaiah came up to me this morning at the end of the service, hugged my neck. He said, "Preach, it's sometime in the recent days," he said, "I got low and discouraged and all of that." I put my hands on his shoulder and I said, "Micaiah, would it hurt you if I quit?" He said, "Yeah, it would hurt me if you quit, preacher." I said, "The feeling goes both ways." I said, "If you quit, it will kill me." Amen. Oh, we don't want Preacher Brackley to quit. We want him to be that gyrus of going and getting Jesus and always having a word and not get worse and worse with everybody. Amen. But staying in there and getting better and better and closer and more determined to get a word from God. Amen. And bring Jesus into the service. Because I know as gyrus, I can't fix it. And it was a happy day, Brother Jonathan, that I realized as Jairus, as a preacher, as a daddy, as just a friend, a neighbor, whatever, I can't fix it. But I need to stay focused on the fact that I know who can. Hey, I know a man who can. Hallelujah. Amen. And what you need, you do not, let me deal with what you don't need. You do not need a compromising preacher. Your flesh would like that, but that's not going to help you because your flesh is the problem. Amen. Well, hallelujah. It pays to meditate upon the word. I'm not against reading commentaries. I got not a big library, but I've got several hundred books in my library. But I'm going to tell you, the majority of the things I get I get from just simply meditating, reading, chewing, looking at it from different angles of questions of why did he say that? What was he thinking? What was he feeling when he said that? What was he looking? What was he seeing when he said that? I mean, just get in that. Try to put yourself, that's what meditation is. Try to put yourself in those verses. Try to put yourself in that scene. Like in our case in this passage, that home scene. And start looking at it. I can't tell you how to do all that. I don't know myself how I guess just over the years, 39 years of just studying, meditating, and thinking and thinking. I told somebody the other day, if I want to be known for anything, I want to be known to be a thinker. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Brother Clipper, I want to be a thinker. Amen. I want to think about choices before I even are faced with them. I don't know what I'll be faced with tomorrow, what answers that Brother Preston I've got to come up with quickly. I pray about that. Lord, I don't know what that might be. I may be put on the spot on something. Lord, help me to have the right reflex. Help me to think right. Amen. I pray about that kind of stuff. I want to be a thinker. Because a person that chooses to walk away from God's not a thinker. They're not thinking about what this is going to cost me. Who is this going to hurt? What's going to be the results of this in a few days? Or a few weeks, few years? I think I am going to quit right there. Because I don't believe, here's the reason why. I mean, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 more thoughts. And y'all couldn't handle that. I'm telling you, God woke me up in the middle of the night last night. I tell you what I was going to preach this morning. I was going to preach on, I told Miss June last night. Of course, then I didn't think I was going to preach on. I'm going to preach on praying in sinking times. Where Peter, beginning to sink, cried and said, Lord, save me. Praying and sinking. And I left the prayer meeting last night thinking, that's what I'm going to preach. Been studying on it, looking at it for months, knowing that I was going to preach it sometime. Are y'all listening? And that's what I went to bed with. And in the middle of the night, God woke me up out of a day, I'm talking about coma, sleep. Wide slap awake. Y'all know, that's for emphasis. Wide slap awake. I don't know what all that means. That's just that southern stuff. Or maybe they talk like that in New York. No. I guess that wide slap awake means if somebody walks in there and you're asleep and they slap you, you're going to be pretty much awake. So that's just the way we say it. You knew what I meant, didn't you? See, no. You don't need an interpreter. You don't need a translator. And the Lord began, I mean immediately, to bring Jairus and this passage to my heart and immediately started giving me stuff. And I just reached over. I got one of them touch lamps. I reached over and hit it 3 times, turned it on as bright as I could get it, grabbed my pen, my pencil, and my paper, and I just sat right, laid. I didn't even get out of bed. I've lost some stuff moving around and stirring around before I start writing down. Because while it's on my mind, I've got to deal with it then. While it's fresh on my mind and while it's coming, I've got to at least write some things down that will stir my thought when I see it. I'll know what that is when I see that word. And God just and I stayed awake the rest of the night, wide awake, come to church this morning, burdened. Oh. And then I was just looking at it tonight, this afternoon, just a little bit, and I looked at that point there, and immediately, just like, the problem was getting worse and worse, but Mom and Daddy was getting better and better. And better means they was getting more spiritual. They was making moves toward Christ. And I hope that goes home with us. I could preach another point or whatever, but I think, Brother Jeter, God wants that truth. Amen. to settle into our soul and into our heart and into our mind and go home with us. And so that the easy thing to do now, wouldn't it? The easy thing to do would be when you're in a circumstance, whether it's in your personal life or whether it's in your home or in church or at work, and there's a situation, the easy thing to do is to let that problem that's getting worse and worse pull you down into that worse and worse, colder and colder and more distant and more distant and more dead and more dying. And may the Lord help us to make the decision. I'm not going to have to get worse and worse. I'm not a victim of circumstances. I don't have to let what's going on around me define me. Amen. That's good preaching right there. That I can make a decision that I'm going to make some Christ direction. I'm going in Christ direction. Amen. A lot of people won't make that move because they don't even know where Jesus is. Oh, my goodness. They don't even know where Jesus is. There's a lot of saved people don't even know where Jesus is. There was people in the Bible didn't know where. Show me where Lot built an altar. You know what happened? Exactly what I'm preaching. His family kept getting worse and worse and worse. He was living in a town that was getting worse and worse and worse. Instead of Lot stepping it up and staying where God wants him to be, the Bible said that wicked conversation of the wicked there vexed his righteous soul from day to day. That meant what was going on around him was grieving him to death on the inside, and he still didn't make any choices to do any better. And when he got away from his uncle Abraham, Lot's life, family, wife, kids, all of them fell apart. Fell absolutely all apart. Got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for speaking our heart. And Lord, as we've seen tonight, Lord, a lot of times a message from you, Lord, may not be the whole thing. It may be just something that you've, Lord, just put your approval on, that you put your touch on, that, Lord, helps us. And I pray, dear God, that we will look at our life and see what direction that we're going in, and help us, Lord, to see, Lord, are we, and ask ourselves, are we getting worse and worse? My circumstance may be, what's going on around me may be, how I'm being treated may be, people talking about me may be, but Lord, am I getting worse and worse with it? Or am I getting better and better, meaning getting more spiritual, getting closer to the Word of God, getting closer to the Spirit of God, getting closer to Jesus, more surrendered, more submissive, more devoted, more in love with Jesus. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to give this people truth that will help them in their life. And I know a lot of times, Lord, we have to go through something to get something. Lord, we have to go through something to be taught something. And Lord, sometimes we go through things instead of quitting. Lord, if we'll start looking at it spiritually and scripturally, and Lord, what are you trying to teach me, and what do I need to know so that I can turn around and call back to people that are coming along behind me and help them with it? Lord, I pray you'd help us here at the church, in this community, in this town. Lord, when I look at the young people, Lord, when I look at the trends and things that's going on, Lord, I see it's just getting worse and worse. And I also see that a lot of churches are getting worse and worse with it, because they're trying to adjust their preaching, their singing, their music, their ministries. They're trying to adjust their ministries that will be down there on their level to cater to them that are getting worse and worse. But that's the wrong direction of a ministry. That's the wrong direction of parents. That's the wrong direction of a preacher. Lord, help us to know that if we're going to help anybody, we've got to be different. We've got to go and get Jesus. We've got to go in His direction. May Your will be done, Lord. Take the message. Stir our hearts. Stir my heart with it, Lord. Lord, sometimes we look at the situation and we justify ourselves. We excuse ourselves when we have lost ground and we're spiritually colder than we were last month, and we've lost some ground and our spiritual desires are getting less and less. And Lord, we can justify that and blame this and blame that. But Lord, please help us to be spiritual enough to where we can make good choices. As Jesus, Lord, You exhibited to us oftentimes. When You would encounter a mess, You didn't go in and become the mess. You didn't become like the mess. But rather, You would stay within the boundaries of Your righteousness, because You knew and know that that's the only way to help those people, is to stay the standard, stay the example. When the disciples was put in the ship and to go to the other side, they encountered a storm. And Jesus, You went into the mountain apart to pray. Lord, help us to not get caught up in what's going on in everybody's life. Everybody's life is not all our business. My business is to make choices that'll help me spiritually to be what I need to be, so that I can help them that wants help. Help me to know that, Lord. Help me to believe that. Help me to hide that in my heart, that great little truth you put in my heart this evening. Have Your way, Father, and we'll thank You for all that You've done and are going to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.